Well, good morning, Grace people. Good to be with you today. I want to give a greeting to those of you who are watching online this morning, too. It's good to be together, even on a brisk fall day. I love the cool weather. I love the changing leaves. It's a great time of the year. And it's also just a special time to be here with our students as they're receiving God's word. Just such a time of joy and such a time of community together here at Community of Grace. Well, there is a phrase that has been attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, which says this: preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary. It's a powerful phrase. It's an interesting thought as it pushes us out of complacency and into action. It's a beautiful thing, but it can also lead to an overcorrection. We can start to think in these terms: don't talk about Jesus, just let your actions speak. Listen, it's vitally important to do the things that Jesus did. That's what we talk about when we talk about imitating Jesus. But one of the things Jesus did is he spoke. He spoke. He spoke about God. He spoke to all kinds of different people. I know this because it's in the Bible. Now, you know, in honor of our students receiving their Bibles as third graders today, I decided to bring in my third grade Bible. This is the Bible I received from my teachers at Faith United Methodist Church, and they handed it to me back in 1978. Yeah, exactly, long time ago. I showed this to my daughter, and she said, "Oh, wow, Dad, is that a first edition?" I told her, "Yeah, it's signed by Jesus and everything." But actually, that brings up an interesting point. You see, Jesus didn't write this book. Jesus didn't write this book. There's no words on any of these pages that Jesus wrote. Instead, there's many, many words that Jesus said. It's kind of cool in this Bible, and I know it's the case with some of your Bibles as well, where the words of Jesus are actually printed in red. They're printed in red. And when you open up the Gospels, you see page after page after page of red letters. That's somebody else who was listening to Jesus speak and then wrote those words down. So Jesus spoke. Now, of course, the scriptures are filled with things that Jesus did, and they are filled with the things that Jesus said. And that's so important for us. And it brings us to the topic of our message today, which is the fourth value of our discipleship formation. And it's the value of speak Jesus. Speak Jesus. Our first three values that we have been working through over the course of these past few weeks have been to know Jesus, then to trust Jesus, and then to imitate Jesus. And by the way, if you haven't had a chance to hear any of those sermons preached by myself and Pastor Angie and Dan Lugo, I would encourage you, hop onto YouTube, go back, take a look at them. They're really an important part of the life of our congregation right now and where we believe God is bringing us. So I want you to be fully informed. They're up there for a reason. You can go back or maybe want to review them just to get an idea of where we're going in this flow. Those first three: know Jesus, trust Jesus, and imitate Jesus. Now, interestingly, when we were originally formulating these discipleship values, these formational values, we stopped after imitate Jesus. We said, know Jesus, trust Jesus, imitate Jesus. And it wasn't until a while later that we brought to the table, hey, what about speaking Jesus? What about that next thing, a part of imitating him, but that needs to be highlighted, is speaking Jesus? Why did it take us so long to get there? Well, I have a theory, and it's based on my many years in ministry, which is this. I have observed that one of the hardest things for us to do is to actually speak about Jesus openly with strangers or with people outside of our immediate circle of influence. And by the way, I include myself in that us. And you might be thinking, oh, Pastor Darren, that's kind of weird. I mean, aren't you up there like right now speaking about Jesus? Don't you do that a lot? Yeah, for sure, when I'm with you. and when I'm with other Christians. But put me on an airplane sitting next to strangers. Put me in a family reunion with distant extended relatives. Put me in a restaurant in downtown White Bear Lake, and it's much harder for me to feel comfortable just sliding into talking about Jesus. It just doesn't come natural to me, and I confess that to you. It's a place that I want to grow. I want to be more comfortable sharing and talking about Jesus and speaking Jesus around us. And listen, it's so important that we do. Friends, if we are going to be making and being disciples of Jesus, we need to become much more comfortable speaking about Jesus with one another and with people who have yet to know, trust, and imitate him. It's essential for the future of the church. The Bible says in Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That means when we step into those encounters with people, sometimes the only Bible they will ever read is you speaking something about Jesus to them. So I want to encourage us today that we need to step into that reality. Now, here's the thing. I want to acknowledge this because it's just reality, okay? We have introverts and we have extroverts and everything in between within our congregational life. And it's all good. God shaped you and created you the way that he did for a reason. And sometimes I talk about, you know, hey, why don't you just go and talk to your neighbor or find somebody to speak to Jesus about? And the introverts in the room are going, are you kidding me? I don't want to speak to people I know, let alone people I don't. But listen, I know this about you because I have introverts in my family. You are not averse to relationship and building relationship with people. And by the way, you are really, really good at building deep relationships with people. And there are introverts all around us in the world who will probably be better suited to hearing somebody speak Jesus from your voice than from somebody like me. So take that as a way to live into that. And then to those of you who are extroverts, listen, I know there are some of you who could start up a conversation with an empty folding chair. You can talk about anything, but take this opportunity to begin stepping into the place of speaking Jesus to people. Let that be an encouragement to you today. We need to take steps in speaking Jesus. So what are we talking about when we're talking about speaking Jesus? What do we really mean? Well, let me give you some examples that I believe is a part of how it is that God uses us to speak Jesus. Four ways to speak Jesus. The first is to speak about Jesus. Now, this is probably the one that we are the most familiar with. I mean, we hear pastors and teachers and leaders in the church who will be in a place where they are speaking about Jesus, and they're talking about Jesus. It's part of what I do. But you may also experience it in devotions that you are reading or ones that you are sharing with other people. You may see it in Bible studies when people are studying God's word together and they're learning about Jesus, and so they speak about Jesus to one another. It's awesome. It's amazing. And here's the cool thing. You know, I get to be up in front of you regularly speaking about Jesus, but you know what? You don't have to have a special degree from a special place to speak about Jesus. I'm thankful for the training that I have. I'm thankful for the journey that I've been on. But listen, if the only people speaking about Jesus are people like me in front of a bunch of people like you, we are way undervaluing the power of God at work through you. Way, way, way. And the church has done it for centuries, and I'm sick of it. It's time for people to own the fact that your ministry matters to the kingdom of God and to your neighbor. And Jesus wants to speak through you, too. So as you speak about Jesus, we think about this, of being in environments like this or other environments, where we speak about Jesus, telling the Jesus stories. That's a great place to start. But then the next thing is about speaking with Jesus. And again, this is something that we also have some familiarity with. Speaking with Jesus is prayer, listening, and speaking, having a conversation with God, speaking with Jesus. We do it when we confess, when we come before God and are like, oh, Lord, I haven't done everything right. I need your forgiveness. That's a conversation that we're having. Confession literally means to agree with. So we're agreeing with what it is that God has to say and what he has shown to us. We don't need to be afraid of it. It's a blessing to be able to step into that place. We also speak with Jesus through worship. We have worship songs that we sing. Some of them are talking about Jesus. Some of them are like a conversation with Jesus. Some of them even go beyond that. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But these are ways that we regularly see and many of us experience speaking Jesus. It's speaking about Jesus, speaking with Jesus. But then we take a turn towards two other things that are a little bit less comfortable for us. And the first one is to speak like Jesus. To speak like Jesus. What does it mean to speak like Jesus? Well, listen, it comes from a lifetime spent with Jesus where your voice starts to sound like his to the people around you. I'll give an example in the natural realm with my oldest son, Jared. Jared's back here playing drums earlier. He'll be back up here again. And a lot of people, if we're just out in the common somewhere, we're at a distance, I know plenty of people who will mistake Jared for me or me for Jared. We look kind of similar. We walk kind of similar. But even if you get close to us and you start talking with us, Jared has some ways of speaking and ways of, you know, using his hands and talking that are very similar to me. And oftentimes we'll have somebody come up and be like, oh my gosh, I was talking with Jared, and it's like, oh, he's so much like you. Well, listen, we're part of a spiritual family too. And the more time that we spend around Jesus, the more time we listen to his voice, the more time that we're spending knowing and trusting and imitating him, the more our voice can start to sound like him to the people around us. I hope and pray that you have somebody in your life that you've encountered that you're like, you know what, every time I'm around that person, I just feel like I'm around Jesus. The way that they talk, the way that they share the love of God with me, I long to be around them. And even when they have something difficult that they've got to share with me, they share it in such a way that I can receive it because it's like, oh, it's just like Jesus speaking to me. It's a beautiful gift. It's a wonderful gift from God. We can't help but listen to those folks. Trust them and sense the presence of Jesus when we're with them. You know, Jesus spoke about this in John 10, 27 through 28. He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hands. Isn't that a powerful promise? But to trust Jesus as the good shepherd. It's not that Jesus focuses on the fact that the sheep know him because they recognize him. They see him. No, they recognize his voice when he calls out to them. And his sheep know what he sounds like. I believe as followers of Jesus, we can begin to not only get a greater sense of listening to Jesus through being with him and trusting him and imitating him, but that we can then begin to manifest that in our own lives, that when we're with others, we can speak in such a way that people feel that same presence of Jesus around them, like they're hearing from Jesus. That's speaking like Jesus. And it's a beautiful gift. Which leads to the last way that we speak Jesus, and that's to speak for Jesus. To speak for Jesus. This is the way of speaking that takes on the authority of Jesus by declaring his grace and truth in his name. We're going to sing a song a little bit later on in our service called I Speak Jesus. And the words of that song, I want you to listen closely when we get to that place to listen to those songs, because in that song, we are speaking for Jesus. We're being invited to speak for Jesus into our own lives, into the lives of people around us. It's an incredible gift. It's an amazing invitation. Jesus invites us into this authority of speaking for him in John 14, verses 12 through 14. Listen to this. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Wow. Let that sink in for a minute. That Jesus so trusts us as his followers when we've been joining him in that intimate, close-up relationship of knowing and trusting and imitating him, that we can actually speak things in his name and ask of him things in his name, and he promises to do it. That's mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. What an incredible invitation and privilege to be invited into this kind of deep, abiding relationship with Jesus, where his presence abides so deeply within us that we can speak for him, accomplishing his work in the world by his authority. And it says even greater things than what people witnessed in the ministry of Jesus. How is that even possible? Well, Christians, that term, which was originally a derogatory term towards the church, towards the people of the way, actually means little Christs. You, as a part of the greater body of Christ, also embody Jesus in yourself. So as you step in and walk into those places, you are invited into that gift of speaking for Jesus. What an incredible invitation. But here's also this. The very idea that Jesus would invite us to speak for him should also strike some holy fear into our hearts. Why? Because this is the kind of speaking that is the most often abused, manipulated, and distorted by people who claim to follow Jesus. In fact, Jesus spoke directly to this in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Jesus says this, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" So it's the flip side of this speaking for Jesus. This idea of those who don't actually know him. This is a pretty stern warning from Jesus, and we should take him seriously. Listen, friends, there are far too many examples of people trying to appropriate Jesus, or more generically, God, into their party platforms, or into their policy decisions, or into their moral positions, without knowing anything about Jesus, placing any trust in Jesus, or showing any desire to imitate Jesus in their personal lives. Don't believe them, and don't follow them. God is jealous over his name, and that certainly applies to Jesus. If you are going to speak for Jesus, be sure that you first speak with Jesus so that you can learn to speak like Jesus. Listen, Jesus knows exactly who he's working with. He knows me, he knows you. He knows our human limitations. He totally understands it. He is not disillusioned with you because he has no illusions about you to begin with. It's a quote from a guy named Graham Cook. It stuck with me. To realize that God chooses to use broken vessels and broken people to still speak his word. But may we always do it with a sense of humility that is accompanied by boldness and bravery. Because we are invited into this. And the world needs to hear Jesus spoken so that people can come to know him. People can have bondages broken off of their lives. People can come into the kingdom of God through the voice of God at work in you and spoken through you. And if you're concerned, friends, listen. The Holy Spirit will supply you with all the grace you need to speak Jesus into the lives of others. Jesus promised it in the Gospel of Luke. He's speaking to his disciples about all the things that they would be going through when he is gone, and how they will be called to stand in front of magistrates and stand in front of authorities and officials, stand in the public square and give an account. And rightly so, they're like, oh, what's that going to be like? And Jesus is like, listen, don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to say. We can trust in that. We can trust in those places when we are in relationship with one another, when we're in new relationships, forming with people, to listen to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, when is it that you want me to speak Jesus? And how would you like me to do that? And it'll be unique. It'll be uniquely through your voice, and it'll be uniquely to the person who you are speaking with. And you can take those steps. Sure, you're going to mess it up. That's why we're back to that confession thing again, spending time with Jesus. The master knows his apprentices, and he gets it. He recognizes we're going to make some mistakes along the way, and he's going to have to come back and be like, hey, why don't you try it this way, like my way? And he'll gently guide us so that we keep on this journey. We don't want to speak Jesus without knowing him and trusting him and imitating him. And that takes a lifetime, but you also get to do it as a part of your lifetime. You get to practice. And we need to start practicing more. So here is my challenge to you. Who is someone in your life who needs to hear Jesus spoken to them by you? Let me say that again. Who is someone in your life who needs to hear Jesus spoken to them by you? I'm willing to bet if you take a moment, just about anybody in this room can think of someone. Or you can allow the Holy Spirit to bring somebody to your mind, to bring a name of someone that you know. Well, then ask the Holy Spirit to present the right opportunity and give you the right words to speak Jesus to them. If you'll be brave enough to pray that prayer, Jesus, just bring somebody into my circle today. Bring them this week. Bring them sometime. And in that moment, let me recognize this is the moment that you are calling me to speak you to them. And then listen and follow the Holy Spirit's lead in speaking to that person. And it might be just showing kindness to them. It might be just saying, hey, you know what? There's a God in heaven who loves you. And I know him. His name is Jesus. And I just want to let you know that he loves you. It might be that simple. But you'd be surprised how often those words to somebody who is ready to hear them can break through so many barriers, can bring healing in the name of Jesus to somebody in unexpected ways, can open the door for them to step into a life of faith and salvation and healing and growth in Jesus. So I want to close with these words for you today, and they're not my words. They're the words of the Apostle Paul from his letter to the church at Colossae, from Colossians 3:15 through 17. I want you to hear it as a blessing and an encouragement to you today. So hear these words as a prayer for you. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen. Amen.